Amen. Turn in your Bible, if you will, and remain standing. If you will, turn to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Amen. Appreciate all the songs that have been sung, both by the congregation and specials. And I appreciate the testimonies that have been given, the worship that has gone forth. He is worthy of our worship. I didn't hear anybody brag on him inappropriately. He didn't exaggerate it. Amen. He's as good as anybody said he was. Amen. And I'm glad that that is the truth. You can't overdo about our God. Now, you may overdo about some things, but you can't overdo about God. He is as great as you can make him out to be, as you can tell it to be. And I'm glad that's truth. But I'm glad not only is he such a great God, but as several of these ladies have talked about and testimonies have been said, even though he's so big and so great, yet he's so intricately interested in our life. I mean, just the little details that he's interested in. And boy, we ought to give thanks unto God for that. Amen. Mark chapter number 9 in verse number 43 is where I'm going to begin reading this morning. Not a pleasant verse or portion of scripture, but words of our Lord. If you had a red letter edition, these would be in red, words of our Lord. And I want to pick up a thought from this and preach really a topical message with a couple of main points if I can this morning. And I'll do my best to be as quick as possible. I know we're moving a little bit slower, but that's all right. Amen. We'll move slow till we get there, but Lord willing, we will get there. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Let me stop just a minute. Cutting off a hand won't keep you from hell. He's not talking about literally lobbing off a hand to keep from going to hell. But he's talking about if there's things in your life that's keeping you from Christ, there's things that's sending you to hell, you'd be better off without those things. All right, verse number 44. Let me read that last phrase of verse 43. Into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm doth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, we are thankful, Lord, to be once again in the Lord's house.
Yes.
Lord's day. Lord, we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace, and Lord, for all that you've done for us.
Yes. You've been so good, Lord.
The resurrection. Lord, I pray today that you would honor us with your presence. And
yes, Lord.
I pray you'll touch the man of God to give him, Lord, perfect liberty and the Spirit of God to preach your word.
Yes.
I pray you'll touch him. I pray you'll bring to remembrance all that you've showed him and spoke to his heart about. I pray you'd help him to say everything you'd have him to say. Lord, refrain him from saying anything that would dishonor him.
Yes.
Lord, help us to glorify you this day. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For we thank you and praise you. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thinking about this text of scripture again, losing a hand, losing a foot, losing an eye is not what it takes to keep you out of hell. But he's saying that if what you're doing, if where you're going, if what you're looking at, if those things are hindering you from coming to Christ, then you'd be better off without those things. That's not my message this morning, my thought that I want to look at, but I'm interested in one word. This is my title. The small but powerful word, never. He said where the fire will never be quenched. Never shall. Look at it in verse number 43. into the fire that never shall be quenched. Again, verse number 45, the last phrase, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I'm concentrating on that word, never. Never. I guess ever since the beginning of time, the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the expulsion of them from the Garden of Eden, I guess men have thought upon and probably discussed and talked about, maybe even argued, if a person dies unsaved, is there ever any hope for them? Our Lord answers, never. If a person dies unsaved, is there any hope of them making a change after death has come? Our Lord answers, never. Never. It's a small but a powerful word. I remember as a child, from my childhood, I remember hearing older folks make a statement that I didn't know was in the Bible, but it's a declaration from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. The last phrase, the Bible says, and if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. I remember old folks saying, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. In other words, when you die, the die has been cast. You've made your choice. Your destination is sealed. Amen. Once death has come. And so they're using that phrase really to say when a man dies, there's no changing the way they're going, where they're going. There's no changing them once they die. In other words, if you die lost, you're lost for eternity. Amen. I know there's other religions that have different takes on that. I'll just touch on those a moment. By way of introduction, I know that the Roman Catholics, the Buddhists, the Zen Buddhists, the Mormons and others think that perhaps, or they teach that there is a chance after a person dies that their eternity could be altered. In the Catholic religion, they teach that if you give enough money to the church, if you give enough money to the priest, if enough prayers are prayed, enough candles are lit, then there's hope that they will get out of purgatory and into blessedness. They believe there's fires in purgatory. Well, can I say to you, the problem with all that is, number one, there's no such place as purgatory. The Catholic Church is not really a church. The priest is not really a priest. The candles don't do any good. Their prayers, if they're lost people praying for lost people, what good? Lost people praying for dead people, what good does that do? And I'm not railing on them. I'm just saying they're wrong. And I don't want you to get confused in their wrongness and their false religion. Amen. Mormonism teaches that hell one day will be purified. They teach that eventually hell will burn out all the bad and it'll be repopulated with Mormons having babies and they'll have a new life after all that. But the problem with that is there's not a word of truth in it. It's wrong. Again, the Mormon gospel is not a real gospel. Their teachings are false. And their hope is vain. Amen. Buddhism, Zen, and other Eastern mystical religions or mysticism teaches that people can be reincarnated. And then that they'll have another chance perhaps at salvation. But again, that's false. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Amen. Their teachings, by the way, all of them, Roman Catholic, Mormons, Buddhists, Eastern mysticism, their teachings all go diametrically opposed to our Lord. If you ask our Lord, Lord, if a person dies lost, is there any chance? Can I light enough candles? Can I pray enough? Can I give enough? Can I do enough that my lost loved one can be saved once they die lost? Our Lord would say, never. That's what he's saying in the text that we're using here. They will never get out of hell and the fire will never be quenched. That's the words of our Lord. Notice that Christ stringently states that the fire is not quenched. Verses 44, 46, and 48. Each one of them, he uses that phrase, the fire is not quenched. It is not now, tomorrow it still will not be, but he said it is not. The fire has not burned out. The fire is not gone. Amen. I know Billy Graham made a statement, but way back yonder, that he wasn't sure that the fire in hell was literal. Our Lord was sure that the fire in hell was literal. Our Lord said it's not gone out. I don't care how many Bible deniers, I don't care how many hopeful believers might say otherwise, it doesn't change the fact. The fire in hell is not quenched. Amen. But then he not only says it is not, but he doubles down on that by stating that it never will be. Amen. Verses 43 and 45, it never shall be quenched. That phrase, never shall be quenched. Jesus said it is not, and it never shall be quenched. With that thought, I want to preach on a message on this thought of the small but powerful word, never. I've got two main points of interest. My first one taken from this text, and I call this the warning in the word never. The warning. Why is our Lord saying that the fire in hell will never be quenched? You don't think that he was rejoicing in that? No. You don't think that he was exulting in that? No. Our Lord no doubt said that with a tear in his eye. No doubt said that with a quiver in his voice. No doubt our Lord made that statement because he knew that hell was not made or created for man, but for the devil and his angels. Amen. And yet our Lord made the statement. Why did he make that statement? He made it as a warning. Matter of fact, this whole context of scripture, he's dealing with not offending these little ones. Amen. Boy, a lot could be said about that. But he's dealing with that in the context. But he said, listen, if you go to hell, there's no getting out. That's what he's saying. Amen. And so he's saying it as a warning. Now I'll have to say this. When mortal men say never, it doesn't always mean never. Amen. Your son may say to you, you never listen to me. Well, you wouldn't have heard him say that if you hadn't been listening. When we say never, it doesn't always mean never. Amen. Perhaps your wife says to you, you never take me out to a nice restaurant. You know you have because you can vaguely remember it. I just say, and I'm just having a little fun with it, but it's true, when mortal men say never, it doesn't always mean never. But when our Lord says never, he means what he says. It means it emphatically. Amen. Matter of fact, you may remember, I thought of two accounts in the life of Peter. Apostle Peter, our Lord's getting ready to go to the cross, they're in that upper room, our Lord says, you're all going to be offended at me. Peter says, not me, Lord. They may all run away. Not me. I will never. You remember that? Never. That's what he said. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. But you know the rest of the story. Before the rooster crowed the next morning, Peter done denied the Lord three times. His never didn't mean never. There's another account still in that upper room. I think right before that account in John chapter number 13, Jesus girded himself with a towel and went to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter said, you're never going to wash my feet, Lord. John 13:8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And when Peter heard that, he said, wash me from my head to my toes. Amen. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, but Peter said, wash me all over, our Lord. Even though Peter said never, our Lord knew that his never didn't mean never. But I say again, when mortal men say never, it doesn't always mean never. But when Almighty God says never, it definitely means exactly what he says. Amen. Some men might argue with God. They might try to twist the word of God to say that his never means something else. That's what they would try to say. Matter of fact, a lot of people, they hear that. By the way, that is clear, unmistakable language. When our Lord said the fires in hell never shall be quenched, you can't argue with that. But men do. They try to changed by their own argument. Think maybe maybe their learning's higher than his. Maybe their words are more powerful than his. Maybe, you know, they're trying to weaken down our Lord's powerful statements. Sometimes it's to cover for somebody else. Sometimes it's try to quench their own alarmed conscience. Amen. But I want to say to you, it doesn't matter. Hell's not just going to be for a limited time. Hell's not just going to be for a few thousand years of punishment. According to the scriptures, the fire never shall be quenched. Amen. Amen. God said something about people. Matter of fact, turn with me. You ought to see this in Jeremiah. When I found this, it blessed my heart. Jeremiah chapter 44. As some people said, God don't mean what he says. Jeremiah 44. He's talking about the judgment that's going to come on Israel. Of course, Jeremiah wept over that, but the people didn't believe it. Jeremiah told it, but they didn't believe it. And God had something to say to Jeremiah about that. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse number 28. Now, I could read the whole section, but this will give you enough of the idea. Jeremiah 44, verse 28. These are the words of our Lord God. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, look at this, shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. God said, I'm going to let them see whose word's going to stand. Their word or my word? Which one's going to stand? Well, God's never going to eat his words. We have to eat our words sometimes. God's never going to have to. Amen. He said they're going to know, they shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. So consider it well then. Our Lord said the fire never shall be quenched. Those are the unchanging words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They stand on record. It's recorded. It's recorded here on earth. It's recorded in heaven. Our Lord said, that's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be. Those are the words of the righteous judge. Those are the words of the gracious Savior. And yet he said, they never shall be quenched. The fire never shall be quenched. So God is true. His word is true. And it shall stand forever. All the power of hell, all the craft of the theologians, amen, all the ideas of religion can never change the fact that when a man dies lost, he's made a fatal mistake. It's too late then. Amen. No way to correct your fatal mistake once you die in that condition. So we ought to heed the warning of our Lord's small but powerful word, never. God pleads with sinners. I could go through the Bible, and I've got a lot of Bible verses. And by the way, when I preach, I try not just to give you my opinion. I try to give you Bible. I may throw in a little opinion along the way, but I want to give you Bible, enough Bible to make up for it. Because my opinion could be wrong, but God's Word's never wrong. It's never wrong. All through the Bible, God's pleading with sinners, particularly in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. God said, why will you die? Why will you die? In other words, he said, I don't get any pleasure in sinners dying lost. I don't get any pleasure in sinners going to hell. Why won't you turn to me? Amen. And I think about Jesus standing on that mountain, looking out over Jerusalem and weeping. Why was he weeping? Because he knew the fire never shall be quenched. Because he knew they would not come to him that they might have life. Amen. He says, why will you die? And I think he says that today. Why are you pushing away the arms of the Savior? Why are you shutting out the words of eternal life, the wonderful words of life? Amen. Why are you trying to stop your ears? Why are you trying to turn your head? Why are you trying to get away? If I can just get out, I'll be all right. Why will you die in your sins? Amen. Amen. Jesus said this, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said this in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Amen.
It's a word of warning. Warning! The fires of hell never shall be quenched. Why do you keep resisting the Holy Ghost? Why do you keep resisting the Savior and His words of truth? Listen to these poetic lines. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Here's another one. Thousands have fled to His spear-pierced side. Welcome they all have been. None are denied. Amen. Amen. Sinners of every kind, every color, every crime, every kindred have come to the Lord and found Him ready and able to save to the uttermost them that'll come to God by Him. Amen. If you will repent and believe the gospel, there's hope. Amen. Don't say never to the Savior and force Him to say never to you. Amen. There's the warning of this word never. Number two, there's the wonder of this word never. Look in John chapter number 10. We were in Mark 9. Go over to John 10. John chapter number 10. The wonder of the word never. You know, John 10 is talking about the good shepherd. Our Lord's words again, red letter, amen. John 10, verse number 27. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall," there's our word, wonderful word, "never perish." Amen. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Amen. Let me say, just as true as our Lord's statement never in Mark chapter 9 is our Lord's statement never in John chapter 10. If the fires in hell never shall be quenched, then the saved, thank God, never shall perish. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Never shall perish. If we believe that our words, our Lord's words are true, when He's talking about hell and sinners, we must believe that His words are true when He's talking about life and the saved. Amen. They never shall perish. Never. If we'll flee at our Lord's warning in the word never, then we'll find comfort and wonder in our Lord's word of never. Amen. Never shall be quenched. Shall never perish. You see, they're opposites, by the way. Never shall be quenched. And shall never perish. That's repentance in between them. You turn them around. Never shall never. Amen. Amen. What made the difference? Repentance made the difference. Amen. Christ's words, by the way, cannot fall. Amen. His words do not fall to the ground. Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 8 says, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Amen. John chapter 10, verse 35, the last phrase said, "The Scripture cannot be broken." Amen. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 say, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Amen. God said, "My word's true. My word's pure. Don't mess with it, because you're messing with yourself. You're going to prove what you are." Amen. Don't mess with My word. Don't try to change it. When God said the fire never shall be quenched, you can't change that. But when God said the saved never shall perish, or shall never perish, that's the way He said it. Amen. Don't try to argue with that. Don't try to add words to our Lord's statement. He did not say, "They shall never perish if." Amen. He didn't say, "They shall never perish but." Amen. He simply used the word never, the small but powerful word never. Amen. Don't try to parse our Lord's words. Don't try to tear them apart. Just trust them. Hang your eternal destiny on the words of our Lord. Amen. You can trust His words. Amen. Now, I know what some people say, and I understand their argument. They say, is this not giving somebody a license to sin? When you tell them that once they're saved, they're eternally saved. By the way, the word eternal security is not in the Bible, but the word everlasting life is.
Amen.
Eternal salvation is. And I've said it before, if it don't last forever, it can't be everlasting. Amen. That just makes sense, don't it? Amen. Don't try to change what our Lord said. It doesn't give them a license to sin, by the way. If we've been set free from the bondage of sin, we know that sin's what was taking us to damnation. Sin was what was condemning us, but God in His mercy has delivered us from that. Why would we ever want to go back to that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Use the words of the Apostle Paul, God forbid. Amen. That's what he said, God forbid. Now, you might argue, you might say, but preacher, I'm not sure that my love for Jesus is strong enough to hold me for eternity. Can I tell you, you're not held by your love. You're not counting on your love. Amen. Jesus didn't say to Peter, do you love me enough to hang in there, Peter? Jesus proved he loved Peter enough. Amen. Amen. That's right. We're not depending on our love for Him. We're depending on His love for us. Amen. Just like the song that Sister Stephanie sang, He, Jesus, loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Here's another argument. But sir, I'm not sure that my goodness will hold out for eternity. Again, I say, we're not counting on your goodness. Amen. Lord, I'll try to do my best to get into heaven. Well, you can keep trying to do your best. You ain't going to get into heaven on your best. Here's what you got to do. You got to say, Lord, I'm trusting in your best. I'm trusting in your best, your goodness. Amen. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. That's what my hope is in. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. That's right. That's our only hope. How can we say we'll never perish? Is that not audacious? Is that not braggadocious to say we'll never perish? No, because we're in the eternal Son of God. Amen. My name's written in the eternal Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. My home's in the eternal heavens of God. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I've been placed there by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. My trust in Him, my acceptance of Him. And again, I'm making it sound like I did it. I didn't do it. He did it. But you understand what I'm saying? The transaction's been done. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus did it all. Amen. Now, let me return to somebody I mentioned earlier, something I mentioned earlier. I talked about Peter. Peter messed up. Peter said, I won't never be offended. But he was. Remember what our Lord said to Peter right before that? Satan hath desired to have you, thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. By the way, he wants every one of us. A person gets saved, they're saved forever, but that don't stop the devil from doing his best to trip them up, to mess them up, to warp them, to wreck them. Amen. He's after them. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Amen. You remember when Peter went out there and did all that? I mean, he denied the Lord three times. I think it was the third time he cursed. One of the times the Bible said he cursed. I heard a man say, well, I heard a woman had said that he cursed when he said, woman, I know not the man. Saying the word woman's not a curse word. But what he cursed, it doesn't say his curse word. Amen. It's just saying that he made an oath. He denied that he knew the Lord. But here's what happened. When he did that the third time, when the cock crew, the Bible said that the Lord looked at him. I believe it's the book of Luke that tells us that. I think he's the only one that mentions it. That the Lord looked at Peter. I don't think he's looking at Peter with eyes of fire. I don't think he is looking at Peter with eyes of anger. I think he is looking at Peter with eyes of love. And he's saying, Peter, you've denied me, but I won't deny you. Amen. I know you. I know you. I love you. You may not love me like you ought to, but I love you. Amen. And Jesus went all the way to Calvary. And he got up from the grave. And when he got up from the grave, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. Amen. And he showed himself unto Peter, the Bible said. Amen. Jesus was interested in Peter even after Peter messed up. Hallelujah. Amen. That doesn't give you a license to sin. By the way, after Peter got right with God, you read the books of Peter, 1st, 2nd epistle of Peter, Peter's talking about living holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. He ain't talking about sinning and God forgiving you sin. Amen. He's not talking about just wallowing your sin and just 1 John 1:9 it. No. He said, since we've been saved, since we've been delivered, let's live for God best we can. Amen. We will mess up. It doesn't give us an excuse to go on and continue on. Amen. Peter went out after he had sinned and wept bitterly, the Bible said. Amen. Jesus took Peter back. In a sense, he took Peter back under his wing. Amen. He strengthened Peter and he used Peter greatly in days to come. Amen. That's exactly what he does for you and I. Amen. When we get saved by the grace of God and we mess up, Jesus, take us back under his wing. He'll forgive us. Amen. He'll work with us. Amen. Jesus is able to keep us from falling. The book of Jude, verse 24 and 25 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Jesus is able to keep you from falling. Amen. Matter of fact, he not only keeps us from falling, he saves us to the uttermost. That means we're saved to the nth degree. We're saved through and through. Amen. You hear people talk about, well, they got gloriously saved. I've read letters about that in the past. Be reading missionary letters and talk about somebody got gloriously saved. The Sunday morning I got saved, I don't think anybody shouted. I didn't see the lightning flash. It didn't make news. I was a little boy. It didn't make news. I'm talking about in the newspaper. Did I get gloriously saved? Oh, yes. Amen. I might not have shouted. I might not even known all about what was going on in particular. But when I got saved completely. Amen. That's what he's talking about. He saves them to the uttermost. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Amen. Saves them to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Amen. His word never means never. Amen. They shall never perish. Amen. Amen. Let me close right there. Get them to come with a song. And I want to give a plea. I believe God gives a plea. And I pray that God might grant you to see that our Lord's word never means never. If you die lost, I'm afraid you'll never be saved. If you reject him right on to the end, you'll never have another opportunity. But if you'll come to him, he'll save you and you will never perish. Amen. Psalm 55 verse 22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Amen. You need to come pray. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our Lord's words. This one word we preached on this morning. Small but powerful. The word never. Lord, I pray some to be warned this morning. Not to die lost. The fire never shall be quenched. Lord, I pray some would wonder and rejoice and worship because of that word never. The sheep that come to him, he'll no wise cast out and they shall never perish. Bless in the invitation time, Lord. Draw sinners, I pray. Help saints to be strengthened. And help us, dear God, to glorify thy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, would you do that? Would you call on the Lord?